The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Conservatism is not primarily about creating the shortest possible list of rules for how our society is governed, but is about preserving the permanent things, the things that should be conserved.
When you look at the cause of pro-life, it's organically related to what we say about who Christ is and why he came.
So you cannot in any way make some coherence out of Jesus and Muhammad. The distance between the two is the distance of infinity.
Homeschooling moms with piano beginners practicing in the house love Issues, etc.
It's an interesting little incident, simply recorded by both Matthew and Luke late in their Gospels. They were bringing little children to Jesus so that he could bless them, and Matthew adds, and pray. The disciples rebuke the people, but Jesus rebukes the disciples. It says Jesus was indignant. One of the gospel writers records, he was indignant. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. He's saying that little children are welcome in the kingdom of heaven. If the king welcomes you, then you're welcome. But there are a lot of Christians who, well, they would certainly say Jesus welcomes the little children. They certainly would. There are even songs like Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. But are they full members of the kingdom of God, even the littlest of children? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. back live on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, on Jesus welcoming little children in Matthew and Luke. A little bit later, we'll talk about the ministry to the deaf. Pastor Thomas Dunseth, director of the Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry, will be our guest. We'll spend some time with you, our listeners, via the listener email. That's talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Responding to your email and your comments. And then we'll wrap everything up today on this Tuesday afternoon with an update on Bill Hybels, the accusations that have been made against him, and the latest position taken by the elders of Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois. Manya Brashear-Pashman, religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune, will be our guest. You can join us with questions or comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And as mentioned before, the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus welcoming the little children in Matthew and Luke, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
So there are many Christians, especially in America, who would reject infant baptism. They certainly would not deny that Jesus loves little children or that he welcomes little children in the text we're going to be looking at here, but they really choke on the notion that children could be full members of God's kingdom via the sacrament of baptism. For those Christians, how do they sort out the issue of how little children are saved?
They have what we call a teaching called the age of accountability, that they believe that until a child reaches a certain age, he is not held accountable for his sins. And therefore, he is, in a sense, saved, apart from water baptism. Water baptism is not believed because many of these same churches also believe that the way a person is saved is by inviting Christ into their heart. I just received a booklet from a prison ministry, And they were requesting 45 cents per booklet, telling that they've got about 2,000 prisoners that have come to faith in Christ. And the title of the book is, How Do I Become a Child of God? As soon as I read that, I knew there was false teaching in it just because of the title, because the entire book puts on the person that they need to hand their life over to Jesus, to give Jesus their heart, to invite him into their life. And it's quite possible that some people are saved by other material in the book, but it's so sad to think that this is how they think they were saved. If you would ask them and they say, well, on May the 17th in 1968, I invited Christ into my life. The great danger there, of course, is a lot of times he doesn't feel like he is in our life. And then we wonder if when we invited him, whether we were sincere enough. I believe that people look at little children and they cannot imagine that God would ever send an infant to hell or a little child to hell. And therefore, it is out of their reason that they introduced this age of accountability. It's really interesting to me. I met a number of these parents, of course. Most of the Southern Baptist Church, of course, believes this. And yet, though they don't think that God holds their children accountable, they begin to hold their children accountable when they're very young, 2, 3, 4 years old for disobedience. And that always kind of surprised me that how can they hold their children accountable, disciplining them or punishing them when they don't think that God is holding them accountable? And so once you get into false teaching and move away from scripture, interpret scripture, you're really causing great doubt in the minds of a lot of people, depending on how you say a person comes to faith. But that's how they think little children are often saved, by this understanding of the age of accountability.
What is likely going through the disciples' minds in the fact that they attempt to keep people from bringing little children to Jesus?
They may have a number of reasons. One reason could be, and this was shared, of course, by the CPH material, that they don't think the children are able to understand what Jesus is saying. So why is he talking to them? And the CPH material does a good job in showing that they can't understand it either, and they're just unaware that they're unable to understand. Remember, they all fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's one reason. But there is another reason, I think, too. Remember, to go to the temple, only a male who'd been bar mitzvahed was able to do that. And women, children, the infirmed, I mean like the deaf, the lame, etc., and Gentiles were not permitted into the temple proper. They had another area. And so they just really weren't supposed to be being talked to by Jesus. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus spoke to the woman at the Samaritan well. Even she was astonished that Jesus asked her for a drink when she went to get water out of the well, because as she said, Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And when the disciples saw that he was talking to a woman, this was never done. Remember, we have instances today where fathers will punish, if not kill, their daughters if they are talking to men without the parents' permission, etc. So I can understand, what is Jesus doing talking to a Samaritan woman, talking to these children? And then, of course, the Pharisees sitting down with prostitutes and tax collectors. Obviously, this cannot be the Son of God. And that's why the disciples rebuked the people for bringing their children to Jesus. And Jesus, of course, was quite angry. You had mentioned, by the way, Todd, it's in Matthew 19 and Luke 18, but it's also in Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. Now, it's not part of the reading of the CPH material, but I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to do a column of each of those verses, Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18, because it's in Mark 10 where you mentioned that Jesus was indignant toward the disciples. And there's a couple of other things found in Mark 10 that are not found in Matthew 19 and Luke 18.
Is it also true, I think you kind of were heading in this direction, that even among devout Jews, at least kind of in a social or kind of a societal way, children were not regarded as, they were certainly loved by their parents, but they were not regarded as kind of the little idols that we make of our children and our grandchildren sometimes in our society today?
Yes, well said. They were a lower caste. And of course, in the culture of that day, for example, in Rome, Romans would often kill infants who were children who were girls because they wanted male girls. So there was not much of consideration toward children as we would hope that a Christian had. And that was a big difference between Christianity and the pagan society.
When he says, to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven, what is he talking about there? What is the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus speaks?
There are two kingdoms that we as Christians believe in. The one is the kingdom of the state, the social area, where there is science and history and psychology and philosophy and government. Then there is the kingdom of the church. That's the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is ushering in. And to be a part of the national kingdom, you just need to be a citizen. To be a member of the kingdom of the church, though, you need to have a trust in God that is a proper trust. And what Jesus is saying when he talks about, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God, he really explains it in Mark 10, verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, how does a kingdom of God, how is it received by a little child? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, people say, children can't have faith. What are you talking about? And yet I have talked to many mothers who have just given birth within, say, 3 or 4 weeks. I will ask them this question. Do you believe that your child trusts you? And every one of them says yes, because they've had an experience where the child clings to them, finds its comfort in the mother many a time, and they have no problem saying there is trust. And yet if you ask them, oh, so your child knows your name and he knows who you are and who they are, well, no, but there's still that trust. And we know that a child receives trust from the Pentecost sermon of Peter, when he says, be baptized and you will receive two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and the promises to you and to your children. So children were considered for sure part of the people of God. We need to take a look, one other item, and it fits in with your question here, Todd. When the Bible says they were bringing children, in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, the Greek word is paedion, which means, it can mean all the way from a young child to a child that was just born. But in Luke 18, it uses the word brephos. They were bringing even infants to him. And that particular Greek word is specifically for a newborn child or an infant. So Jesus is saying, let the children come to me. And in this case, he's using the term brephos, meaning a newborn infant, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And every church that practices infant baptism is following God's command here in bringing their children to God, because he makes a promise in baptism that whoever is baptized, and remember, it includes the children, receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Tuesday, May the 29th. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson back live with you. Jesus welcomes the little children in Matthew chapter 19 and Luke chapter 18. When we come back, we're going to talk about infant baptism and some ways, Tom says, that children are saved, can be saved apart from even the sacrament of baptism. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's Tuesday, May the 29th, and we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker.
Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hemmer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here's a bit from Growing in Christ, that Sunday school curriculum that Tom Baker mentioned just a few moments ago as we teach a Sunday school lesson regarding Jesus welcoming the little children. Jesus understood not only that the children needed his salvation, which is true, they're sinners just like adults, but also that because of the work of the Holy Spirit, they could have it through faith. For this reason, he embraced them and touched them. Very simple, very to the point, and right up the alley of the biblical content there that's being taught in this Sunday school lesson, the point that needs to be made. Jesus welcomes these children because they need him, and because through the work of the Holy Spirit, he gives the gift of faith even to little children. You'll find that kind of simplicity, straightforwardness in Growing in Christ, this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Ask for a free sample by giving Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, click listen on demand. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus welcoming the children. So Tom, are you saying that children cannot be saved apart from baptism?
No. If I was saying that, then no one prior to Pentecost would have been saved if they were a child. No Old Testament little boy or little girl would be saved. And that leads me into the other ways in which God has revealed he saves little children apart from baptism. The first one I would mention, and you can just about ask any Christian, what happened to baby boys on the eighth day after their birth? They were circumcised. They were considered to be a member of the family of God. Then I asked, and what did they do to little girls? And there is silence. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say what God does to little girls to make them part of the family of God, but they are included as part of the nation of Israel, infant girls. Then another way in which God has brought someone to faith is in the womb. And there we have John the Baptizer, where the angel Gabriel told his father that before he was born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have today's lesson. And today's lesson really needs to be looked at in the context of Scripture, because almost every time it says that Jesus touched someone, something happened. For example, in Matthew 8, there is a leper, and Jesus, he asked to be healed. It says, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. And he said, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He also did that with a blind man in Matthew 9. And their eyes were open. And again, we find when Jesus touches someone, even in the Old Testament, touching was very important. For example, in Leviticus 1 verse 4, you bring your burnt offering to be sacrificed, but as you give it over to be sacrificed, you lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering in order that it will be made acceptable for you to make atonement for you. In Deuteronomy 34, Joshua, it is said, he is filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hands on him. So I would make the point that when Jesus laid his hands on these children, and that's why I like Mark 10, because it says, and he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Who's going to doubt that those children will be brought to faith? Now, these are five ways, including the Pentecost baptism, that God has saved people. The only thing I would do as a pastor is the only one that occurs for sure is the Pentecost baptism. But I am not going to say that God still may not save little children like he saved the little girls in Israel. He never tells us what he does there. How many people maybe even in the womb? Now, I'm not speaking as a pastor right now, but this is a personal opinion of mine that children who are aborted also are saved. But that's not a pastoral point of view because I can't back it up with a Bible verse. But I'll tell you this. How many of us as pastors have had parents whose child died before baptism, maybe before the birth or soon after the birth? And I have found it is a comfort to list these other ways in which God did bring children into the kingdom. There's no assurance that he does it, but there is at least the hope that he might. And I'll never forget Robert Price, tremendous teacher, president at the Fort Wayne Seminary. One of his children died before being baptized. And in class, he says, when I get to heaven and he is in heaven, I will be in bliss. And if I get to heaven and he is not in heaven, I still will be in bliss. The first one I understand, the second I don't, but believe. And so the point I make again and again is there's nothing in heaven that will cause a tear to come to your eyes. And if it's necessary for God to accomplish that by having your children who weren't baptized saved or children throughout the world, I have no idea. But we leave it in the hands of a merciful and gracious God, keeping in mind that the only sure way that we know a child is saved is by the waters of Pentecost.
So in a simple way, and after all, these Sunday school lessons are for children, even little children, how would you describe the law and gospel of the accounts of Jesus welcoming the little children?
The message of the law is, I am just like a child after being born. I am helpless. I cannot change myself, feed myself. I cannot save myself. The gospel is, God provides salvation for me. And that occurred, in my case, in the waters of baptism. In others, it occurred later in life when they heard the word of God, as many have with issues, etc., and have come to believe in Jesus Christ properly. As to these other situations, we leave it in the hands of a merciful and gracious God. In fact, in the funeral for the death of an unbaptized child, the Lutheran liturgy says, we are bound by the scripture, but God is not. And what that means is the boundaries of which we know about God is Holy Scriptures, but God knows a lot more. And so we leave even children who have not been baptized in the hands of a merciful and gracious God, permitting him to make the decision so that no tear will be in our eyes when we are in heaven.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we return, we're going to talk ministry to the deaf. There is a famous scripture that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what about those who cannot hear? What about the deaf? Pastor Thomas Dunseth will be our guest. After that, we'll spend some time with a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and then we'll get an update on the allegations against Bill Hybels of Willow Creek with Manya Brashear Pashman of the Chicago Tribune. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.